Fan God's Gift into Flame. Theological Rationale for Developing an Annual Spiritual and Professional Growth Plan. Thinking Theologically about the Blessings of Planning for Growth. Conclusion. For those for whom planning for growth may not be a familiar process, all this may seem overwhelming. Yet just imagine that almost every pastor in our synod paused for a day each year, one, to give thanks to God for unique blessings in his life and in his unique God-given callings during the previous year. Two, to evaluate, under the protective umbrella of God's grace in Jesus and with the help of trusted brothers and sisters, how he is doing in all his God-given callings. Three, to build from that review and evaluation a grace-focused plan for growth in faith and all his callings. Four, to partner with a few, especially trusted royal priestly and public ministry partners, to find God's strength to carry out that plan. What might be the impact if this would become as much a part of our annual routine as spending a day or two attending a district convention or called worker conference? Footnote 7. A lay leader whose spiritual wisdom I have learned to treasure wrote this as he reviewed this essay's encouragement to ministers of the gospel to plan for growth in all their callings. Quote, "Festival services are planned to edify the worshipers and give high glory to the Trinity. Time for weekly worship and daily devotion, as well as regular prayer, are planned into our lives. Wedding and funeral services are planned to provide honor to God, offer tasteful worship, and support those gathered in attendance. I think you get where I'm taking this. We spend a lot of time in our earthly lives planning to honor God, but also for the benefit of others. From a society standpoint, we plan Thanksgiving dinner, where and when, vacations, what, when, how long, where, and even our daily meals. Aside from the cautions you explicitly described in the essay, why wouldn't an individual take time to plan for himself a routine? Because we are assured God will bless it, and it will enhance the spiritual life of himself and others within his circle of influence. To me, there is so much upside to it. It would be exciting to look at this annual opportunity." End quote. End footnote. It is my conviction that such a practice, should it become a thoughtful, regular practice in our midst, could be used by God to have an impact for the cause of the gospel that could make legions of angels give thanks. Footnote 8. Nothing in the kingdom of God is so good that it cannot be defiled by the careless and mindless formalism by which our sinful nature distorts anything, no matter how godly and pious it might be. This author wants to be the first to admit that all of this can become nothing but corporate hoop jumping if we allow it to be so. End footnote. If the kind of structured plan for growth that is routinely a part of our pre-ministerial preparation became a ministry-long practice for those in the public ministry, I don't believe anyone could estimate the harvest of blessings God might produce through this for each of us individually and all of us corporately. I know this process will mean an expense of time and effort, but it is my conviction that this is more than worth the effort. And why is that? This is not about our glory or a bottom line that impacts only a corporate profit and loss sheet. This is about a gospel-empowered bottom line that impacts eternal souls, ours, and those we serve. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. We have a far greater and more long-lasting purpose for our efforts toward growth than does corporate America. Why not put them to shame with the shrewd quality of our planning and the faithful executing of our plans? Why not learn from Jesus' parable and show ourselves as children of the light to be at least as wise as the people of this world? Luke 16, verse 8. Take God at his promises. The Savior who loves you beyond comprehension has measured gifts into your life to equip you for all your callings. Fan God's gift into flame.